Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Last night we had another mass casualty event. This time, literally 100% of the patients were women and children. There was a mom who just had some minor wounds. Thankfully, she was fine. Her son was on the bed with her, 3 years old.
Hospitals under attack in Gaza. Israeli forces withdraw from Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, after a 14-day raid that left hundreds dead and most of the medical complex in ruins. We'll speak with two doctors, Dr. Feroz Sitwa, who is volunteering at the European Hospital in Khan Yunis, and we'll talk to Dr. Hassan Abusetta, who worked as a volunteer doctor for over a month at Al-Shifa and Al-Ahli Baptist Hospitals in Gaza City. Then, as Christians around the world celebrate Easter, we go to Bethlehem in the occupied West Bank to talk to Reverend Munther Ishaq.
Today we have entered a new phase of the war of genocide, in which the people of Gaza are being killed by hunger, thirst, and disease. They are starved to death. It is a slow death.
And tens of thousands protest in Israel, calling for the removal of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We'll go to Tel Aviv to get the latest. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Israeli military has ended its two-week siege of Al-Shifa's hospital, leaving Gaza's largest medical complex in ruins. The World Health Organization says at least 21 patients died since the siege began. Authorities in Gaza said the Israeli military killed more than 400 Palestinians, including medical workers and children, and destroyed over 1,000 homes around the hospital. Israel accused Hamas of using the hospital for military purposes. On Sunday, an Israeli airstrike hit a tent encampment outside of Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah. The attack killed four people and injured 17 others, including seven journalists. The BBC reports the tent closest to the explosion belonged to the Turkish news agency Anadolu. The Palestinian photographer Ali Hamad described the attack.
They hit the tent without any warning. We were staying in the tent as a group of journalists, peacefully, with no terrorist among us. We were preparing our cameras, and all of a sudden, the tent was hit. Everything went dark with debris and rocks flying above our heads, and there were flames.
In other news from Gaza, the Israeli newspaper Haaretz reports the Israeli military has created so-called kill zones inside Gaza, where Israeli troops kill anyone who crosses into the area. One reserve officer told the paper, quote, as soon as people enter it, mainly adult males, orders are to shoot and kill, even if that person is unarmed, unquote. The report comes days after Al Jazeera aired footage of four unarmed Palestinian men being killed as they walked along the ruins near Khan Yunis. In an interview with Haaretz, one Israeli officer acknowledged the four men were killed even though they, quote, didn't endanger our forces, unquote. The Washington Post is reporting the Biden administration has recently authorized the transfer of billions of dollars in bombs and fighter jets to Israel. The arms package include more than 1,800 MK-84 2,000-pound bombs, which can be used to level entire city blocks. The U.S. is also sending 500 MK-82 500-pound bombs and 25 F-35 fighter jets. On Sunday, tens of thousands rallied across Israel, calling for the removal of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the largest protest since the October 7th attacks. In Jerusalem, police fired skunk spray at demonstrators blocking a major highway. The protesters called for a ceasefire and the release of all hostages. This is Zahira Shahar-Mor, whose elderly uncle has been held in Gaza for nearly 6 months.
Today we declared that Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, is the obstacle between us and getting our hostages back. And we will relentlessly fight, legally of course, to have him removed from power and get someone else that can do the job and worthy of this, of the situation, okay, that can bring our beloved ones back. Until then, Benjamin Netanyahu is the main obstacle.
As calls mount for his resignation, Benjamin Netanyahu is now recovering after undergoing a hernia operation on Sunday night. In other news from Israel, police have arrested the sister of Hamas's political leader, Ismail Haniyeh, Sabah Haniyeh, who is an Israeli citizen, was detained in the Israeli town of Tel Sheva. Palestinians marked Land Day across the occupied territories and across the globe on Saturday. The day commemorates the 1976 deaths of six Palestinians protesting the seizure of their property by Israel. Hundreds of Palestinians rallied in Ramallah and the occupied West Bank. This is Majida Malmasri, Minister of Social Affairs of the Palestinian National Authority.
The Palestinian people are united in their struggle for the land, which started on Land Day in the Galilee and in the Nakab, but has now spread all over the country. All our people and the free people of the world are all united in this struggle in support of our people in Gaza and the resistance in Gaza, which is for the protection of the land and the return of the rights of self-determination of the Palestinian people.
Solidarity protests were held across the globe over the weekend, including in London, where as many as 200,000 people took to the streets. Here in New York City, organizers say 30,000 people came out for a massive Land Day protest. Elsewhere, students at Smith College in Massachusetts have entered their sixth day occupying an administrative building. The students are calling on the school to divest from weapons manufacturers. The protest is being led by the Smith chapter of Students for Justice in Palestine. Pope Francis marked Easter Sunday by reiterating his plea for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
I appeal once again that access to humanitarian aid be ensured to Gaza and call once more for the prompt release of the hostages seized on last October 7th and for an immediate ceasefire in the Strip. Let us not allow the current hostilities to continue to have grave repercussions on the civil population, by now at the limit of its endurance and above all on the children. How much suffering we see in children's eyes. Those children in that land of war have forgotten how to smile.
While the Pope called for peace, a Republican Congress member has publicly suggested Gaza should be bombed, quote, like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Michigan Congressmember Tim Walberg made the comment during a recent town hall.
We shouldn't be spending a dime on humanitarian aid. It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Get it over quick.
After facing widespread criticism for calling for the atomic bombing of Gaza, Congressmember Tim Walberg, who's a former pastor, issued a statement claiming he was not advocating for the use of nuclear weapons in Gaza. In Lebanon, three UN military observers and a Lebanese translator were injured Saturday in an explosion near the border with Israel. Security sources in Lebanon told Reuters Israel was behind the attack, but Israel denied the claim. Meanwhile, Israel has assassinated a Hezbollah commander named Ismail al-Zin in a targeted drone strike in southern Lebanon. In campaign news, Donald Trump has posted a video on social media that includes an image of President Biden hogtied in the back of a pickup truck. A spokesperson for Biden's campaign said, quote, Trump is regularly inciting political violence, and it's time people take him seriously. Just ask the Capitol police officers who were attacked protecting our democracy on January 6th, they said. Meanwhile, Trump continues to publicly attack the daughter of New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan, who's hearing Trump's hush money case. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg has asked for a gag order on Trump to be expanded to include the judge and his family. In Turkey, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's ruling party has suffered historic losses in local elections as the secular opposition Republican People's Party won mayoral races in Turkey's five largest cities, including the capital Ankara, In Istanbul, Ekrem İmamoğlu won re-election with more than 51%, cementing his role as a possible future challenger to Erdogan.
The nation itself gives the order and the instructions, not just one person. Officials receive instructions from the nation. The period of one-man rule is over as of today. It is done. The Republican democracy go full speed ahead from now on.
Armed police raided the home of the Peruvian president, Dina Boluarte, as part of a corruption probe dubbed Rolexgate. The deeply unpopular interim president has been accused of illegally acquiring more than a dozen luxury watches over the past 3 years. She's denied any wrongdoing and has rejected calls to resign. President Boluarte has led Peru since December 2022 after Pedro Castillo was ousted from office. Yesterday marked the 15th annual International Transgender Day of Visibility. President Biden issued a proclamation, quote, honoring the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and recognizing March 31st as Transgender Day of Visibility. Biden has recognized the date every year since taking office, but Republican lawmakers and Trump attacked Biden for the move since the holiday coincided this year with Easter Sunday. Amidst a Republican crackdown on their rights, trans and non-binary communities led rallies at state houses across the country Sunday to celebrate trans joy and demand equitable rights. Elsewhere, activists in Mexico City were met with riot police and tear gas as they marched to demand a law protecting the rights of transgender people. This is Jennifer Rodriguez.
We want respect for our human rights. We don't want to be discriminated against when we apply for a job. We want the medical assistance we deserve. We want to be able to get a house and all the benefits free marriage provides. We don't want to be killed only for being different. We don't want sex work to be our one unique option to survive. While the government doesn't provide all these, we want our integral trans law that gives us the right to express our identity and change our gender and make hormonal changes when we come to legal age.
In other news from Mexico, authorities are investigating the deaths of eight Chinese nationals after their bodies were found on a beach in the southern state of Oaxaca Saturday. One survivor of the shipwreck says the boat departed from Tapachula, a border city with Guatemala, which is a common departure point for migrants hoping to reach the U.S. border. In California, many fast food workers are getting a big raise. Beginning today, all fast food chains in California must pay workers at least $20 an hour. And the pioneering actor Lou Gossett Jr. has died at the age of 87. In 1983, he became the first black performer to win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for his role in An Officer and a Gentleman. He was also the founder of the Eracism Foundation, which aimed to erase racism. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli forces withdrew from Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, today after a two-week raid that's left most of the medical complex in ruins, with dead bodies on the ground in a wasteland of charred and destroyed buildings. The government media office in Gaza said over 400 Palestinians were killed and over 1,000 homes in the area of Al-Shifa destroyed. Army bulldozers also plowed over a makeshift cemetery in the hospital courtyard. The World Health Organization said at least 21 patients died since the raid began March 18th. Built in 1946, Shifa was once the flagship medical facility in Gaza. Since October, Gaza's health sector has been completely decimated. Only two hospitals are minimally functional and 10 partially functional, according to the United Nations. The rest have shut down completely after being shelled, besieged, and raided by Israeli troops or running out of fuel and medicine. On Sunday, an Israeli airstrike hit a tent encampment outside of Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah. The attack killed two Palestinians and injured seven journalists. The death toll in Gaza is nearly 33,000, including 14,000 children. Many thousands of others are missing under the rubble and presumed dead. The number of wounded has topped 75,000. For more, we're joined by Dr. Hassan Abusatha, a British-Palestinian reconstructive surgeon. He worked in Gaza for over a month as a volunteer with Doctors Without Borders, treating patients at both Al-Shifa and Al-Ahli Baptist Hospitals. He's joining us from London. Welcome to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us. So you have heard the news, Dr. Abu Seta. Al-Shifa destroyed, the largest medical complex in the Gaza Strip. Can you talk about its significance and then talk about your experiences when you were in Gaza?
First of all, if you'll allow me, Amy, I'd like to start by paying tribute to my friend and colleague, Dr. Ahmed Al-Maqadna, a young, brilliant plastic surgeon with whom I had worked at Shifa during this war and at Al-Ahli Hospital. And I'd worked with him before during the 21 war and during the marches of return. His body, alongside that of his mother, were found today when the Israeli troops withdrew, and they had been executed by the Israeli army while trying to escape Shifa. Dr. Ahmed was a brilliant and dedicated young surgeon who had won the Humanitarian Fellowship of the Royal College of Surgeons of England. And it's critical that we remember their names and we remember their stories. And today I want to send my love to his wife and to his children, both under the age of 5, who are now left without a husband and a father, along with so many of my colleagues who we've lost. This is the second plastic surgeon who I had worked with at Shifa, who has been killed by the Israeli, and over 345 doctors and nurses and paramedics who've been killed by the Israelis, intentionally targeted. Now, with regards to Shifa, Shifa was 30% of the capacity of the health system in Gaza. And so the destruction of Shifa, the wanton destruction of Shifa, is a critical component of Israel's plan to genocidally make sure that Gaza becomes an uninhabitable place even after a ceasefire happened. By destroying Shifa and making sure that it is irreparable, the Israelis are trying to make sure that for years to come, Gaza does not have a functioning health system. Shifa now needs to be completely demolished and a new building and a new hospital built, which means you're looking at 3 to 5 years once the building starts. This is part of the genocidal machine. But for me, as someone who has, you know, I reached Shifa Hospital on the 10th of October, on the morning of the Tuesday, and was in Shifa on and off throughout my whole 43 days in Gaza. It is not just the Israeli soldiers and the Israeli leaders, the genocidal tip of the iceberg that I blame. I blame the Western journalists who perpetuated the narrative that militarized the hospital as a justifiable and an acceptable target to the Israelis. These genocide enablers, these Western journalists, from the very beginning, peddled these stories that the Israelis were feeding them about Shifa being on top of this massive complex of command and control center. And their job was to enable the genocide to take place. And the genocide can only take place if the health system is destroyed. And so their hand, blood of my friend, blood of Ahmed Maqadmi, is on the hands of the CNN journalists and the BBC journalists and the ITV journalists who, from the very beginning, were peddling this narrative.
I'm looking at a comment right now from Ra'ed Al-Nims, a representative for the Palestinian Red Crescent Society. who said many departments at Al-Shifa Hospital were set on fire. Many bodies are lying around the ground. Al-Naims told Al Jazeera, the situation is dire. The medical staff, some of them killed, others tortured, others detained. Above all, they've been besieged for 2 weeks without any medical supplies or even food or water. Shifa itself means healing. It's a house of healing. Also, 1,000 houses in the area were also destroyed as the Israeli military destroyed the hospital. Dr. Ghassan Abu Sita, as you work there, can you talk about, especially since you are a reconstructive surgeon, the child amputees and what they face in there and the other hospitals you worked in?
So from the very beginning, it was obvious that half of the wounded were children. And on a daily basis, my operating list would be between 8 and 12 surgeons. And half of them were children. And the sheer ferocity of the bombing, the fact that the Israelis were targeting people's homes, meant that a lot of these children, either their limbs were blown right off at the explosion or were crushed beyond repair as a result of the debris and the collapsing buildings that they were taken from underneath. As the war progressed, as the health system became so overwhelmed, previously reconstructable limb became unreconstructable and required amputation to save the patient's lives from gangrene and infection. And so what we have is a process by which these children, and my estimate is that they are now probably around 4,000 to 5,000. These children are now left with disability that will change the course of their life. We know from the medical literature that each child with a lower limb prosthetic will need a new prosthetic every 6 months because their body outgrows the length of the prosthesis, and will need between 8 and 12 surgery by the time they're of adult age, because the bone grows faster than the soft tissues, or the nerves attach themselves to the skin and they can't wear the prosthesis. And so this is a lifelong trajectory of surgery and of disability and of mental health scarring as a result of the deformity. To take into account, in addition to that, that a lot of these children are orphaned. You know, there are 17,000 children in Gaza who've lost their parents, and many of these are wounded children. And so to go through all of this with no family to look after you is just, the legacy will be the legacy of this war. And this is a war from the very beginning. This was a war Israel declared on Palestinian children. You know, Israel wanted to wipe out Palestinian children because Palestinian children represent the Palestinian tomorrow that is incompatible with the Zionist settler colonial project. Zionists cannot envisage a Palestinian tomorrow, and we're targeting Palestinian children.
I wanted to quote from The New Yorker, that quotes you extensively, Doctor, as you talk about this is the biggest cohort of pediatric amputees in history. Eliza Griswold writes, to mark the gravity of these procedures and to mourn, Abu Sita and other medical staff place the severed limbs of children in small cardboard boxes. They labeled the boxes with masking tape on which they wrote a name and a body part and buried them. Talk more about what you did.
There was one night when I was in Ahli Hospital, when the Israelis had targeted a mosque which had been used by the internally displaced, where by 5 o'clock that morning, I had performed amputations on 6 children. And such is the aim to dehumanize these children, the aim of the settler colonialist genocidal war, to dehumanize these children. that my colleagues and I wanted to maintain their dignity and wanted to not just bear witness, but to hold on to anything that makes us and them human in the face of this dehumanizing war machine. And so we insisted that whenever there was a limb that was amputated, that it gets the right burial, and that this child's name is on that amputated limb, and that we maintain the dignity of our patient to the extent that we can.
Doctor, the Washington Post is reporting the Biden administration just authorized the transfer of billions of dollars in bombs and fighter jets to Israel. The arms package, including more than 1,800 MK-84 2,000-pound bombs, which can be used to level entire city blocks. U.S. also sending 500 MK-82 500-pound bombs and 25 F-35 fighter jets. I'm wondering if you can comment on this, especially in light of recently being elected rector of the University of Glasgow, your alma mater. It was a position once held by Winnie Mandela. You won by a wide majority, running on a pro-Palestinian solidarity platform and urging divestment from the arms trade. Can you talk about this?
So one of the things you do realize when you leave this death world in Gaza and you come out to the outside world is that you come to realize that Israel is just the tip of the genocidal iceberg. But the United States, the United Kingdom, France, Italy, all of these NATO countries represent the remainder of the genocidal project. Israel, and these countries are not just supporting Israel. They are supporting Israel's genocidal project because, as the Colombian president said, they want to send the message to any other troublesome native who consider changing the rules of the global game by rebelling. And so when we talk about the genocide, we should not just talk about the Israelis as the perpetrators of the genocide. We should talk about the axis of genocide, these countries, these governments that are perpetuating this genocide. And we know not just this article. There's also been another article showing how much intelligence information has been passed on to the Israelis that ensured the Israelis are able to carry out these massacres. And so when we talk about the genocide, it's an American, British, French, European genocide against the Palestinian people. Not of which Israel is the spearhead, but not just the sole perpetrator.
Finally, there were perhaps as many as 200,000 people protesting in London alone this weekend. That's where you're speaking from, Dr. Hassan Abusetta. Talk about the significance of this, and if this is making a difference. Wasn't there also a letter from something like 150 British MPs who wrote a letter demanding stopping the arming of Israel?
Since the International Court of Justice produced its interim ruling that this is plausibly a genocidal war, and I think there's no one that has any doubt about it, the British government is now legally complicit in the act of genocide. The universities that hold shares in BAE systems, the arms manufacturers that has continued to supply weapons to Israel, are also complicit. And this is one of the things that we ran on as part of the campaign for rector of Glasgow University. If you own shares in an arms company that has sent parts or complete weapons to the Israelis in this genocidal war, you are complicit under international law in genocide. All of this highlights the fact that this is a genocidal project that extends from Tel Aviv to London, to Washington, to Paris, to Rome, to all of these countries. These are genocidal partners, complicit in an attempt to wipe out the Palestinian people. The 200,000, hundreds of thousands of people who are coming out every weekend, be it in Europe or North America, are basically saying not in our name. They will not be complicit in the acts of genocide that their governments are perpetrating. These people